Welcome, Lubna. I'm so happy to be here with you today to talk about your amazing story. I met Lubna Khalid a few months ago at a Hay House Writers Workshop, and I was blown away by her incredible story of how she healed herself from cancer. And I invited her to speak with me and for everybody here to listen to her story, because I think it's so extraordinary and so phenomenal when someone can heal cancer on their own. And I think it'll be really important for many people to hear her story and then to hear what she's doing with this. So welcome, Lubna. I'm delighted to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here, and I'm so happy to be in service to those listening who can gain something from this conversation.
Awesome. Awesome. So Lubna, I'll just take a moment to introduce you. Lubna Khalid is an international empowerment speaker who is about being real. She has a passion for teaching others how they can harness the mind-body-spirit connection, access their real selves and their real power to live healthier and happier lives. Her inspiring journey of healing on physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual levels is what she shares with audiences around the world, as well as explaining how she went to the root cause of her disease to become cancer-free. Lubna has been featured in publications such as Shape and Oprah's O Magazine. And she's the founder of a multicultural cosmetics company, runs a private core energetics practice in New York City, travels globally as an inspirational teacher, and is obsessed with spicy food. I love that. I love that.
Well, I am.
That's great. I want to hear about that too. So tell us, let's really just dive in. Can you tell us how you discovered that you had cancer in the very first place?
Sure. Well, I went for a routine mammogram that I was postponing. I actually postponed it 6 months because we think these things aren't important. And so I went for a routine mammogram and they said, everything's fine. And then I got a call from, this was my second mammogram only. Then I got a call from the hospital and they said, oh, you know, you have a certain type of dense breast tissue and we just want to take a second look. So nothing serious. Let's just come in for a second look ultrasound. And so I went in for a second look ultrasound. I didn't bring anyone with me because I thought it was no big deal. And that's when it started. The technician doing the ultrasound took quite a bit of time and was taking a lot of pictures. And I started to feel fear. Like, something's not right here if she's taking this many pictures and taking this much time. And then she says, well, I just want to show this to the radiologist to make sure that the radiologist doesn't want to come in and take her look on the screen before you can go. And I thought, oh, this isn't that great. This is not good. And then the radiologist came in and saw the images and came in and wanted to see them on the screen. And she was a wonderful woman, an Indian-American doctor, and she just had a look of fear on her face. And you know, the type of work I do, I work with clients in my core energetics therapy practice, so I have a sense of what people are feeling or what's going on with them, and I just knew something was up. And she said, you know, there's some suspicious areas. I think it might be breast cancer. We want to do some biopsies. We want to do actually 5 biopsies, needle biopsies. And they wanted to do it that same day. And I was in so much panic and fear, and you know, I wanted my boyfriend to be there, so we decided and agreed to do it the next day, and that's how it began.
What a shock! What a shock! Just an ordinary exam. All of this to happen. How did you feel hearing the news and just getting this news?
You know, I think, you know, as with anyone receiving a life-threatening diagnosis, it's a complete shock. You know, your body goes into, my body went into fight or flight and freeze. And I was really scared. I was really scared and I was willing to do whatever the doctor said at that point.
And what did the doctor say?
Well, they said, you know, it took a couple of days for the biopsies to come back, which were in them of themselves extremely. Listen, I hate needles and knives. So this was my worst nightmare. And the needle biopsies that you're conscious during them, and they did five in basically it's like five mini surgeries in one sitting or one lying down. And it was so traumatizing. Well, it took a number of days for the results to come back. And that time period of waiting from, I think it was Friday until Tuesday when I finally got the results, was probably one of the most difficult times in my life because of the panic and the shock and not knowing what the truth will be. And I was at my core energetics office. I was actually seeing clients. I had a client in the waiting room when the radiologist finally called me back, and I have about 10-minute gap between clients. And so the radiologist called me and she said, I'm sorry to tell you, you have second stage invasive ductal carcinoma. And I said, what's that? And she said, well, it's breast cancer. And it's second stage, which means it's already metastasized to the lymph nodes. And I said, well, what does that mean? And she says that, well, once it goes in lymph nodes, then it can spread through your system, through the lymph, and spread into third stage. And so we want to get this taken care of right away. And I'm going to let you talk to the oncologist and surgeon, but and they'll tell you what to do, but most likely you're definitely going to need radiation, maybe chemo, and definitely a lumpectomy or a surgery to remove the tumor.
Wow. I can imagine you're just completely.
Oh, it was horrible. It was absolutely devastating. When I did speak to the oncologist, and this is one of the best hospitals in New York. I don't like to mention names, but it starts with an M. The initials are MS. The reason I don't like to mention names is I didn't end up staying there, as you know. So I don't want it to be anything personal against anyone. I think the Western medical system is fantastic for what it does well. Diagnostic is one of the best things it does. I wouldn't have known I had breast cancer if we didn't have Western diagnostic. Other things I don't think I agree with, or it does as well, particularly in the area of real healing, healing. And we'll talk more about that. So the oncologist there and the surgeon wanted me to do 5 months. Well, first they wanted me to do 5 months of the most aggressive form of chemo, because the type of breast cancer I got diagnosed with was called triple negative, which is a rarer type. Chemo works less often on it. It's not as proven. And apparently they say it spreads the fastest and it's the most dangerous type. Triple negative meaning it's negative for the three hormones, that a lot of breast cancers are hormone positive. I thought that, I'm a marketing person. So I said, couldn't they come up with a better name than triple negative? It's like, that doesn't keep me in a very positive mindset. So, triple negative second stage breast cancer. And they wanted 5 months of chemo, then a lumpectomy, and then followed by radiation for, I think it was six weeks of radiation, which is, it does a number on your entire body physically. Chemo is known to be chemicals and the side effects are tremendous, and that's what they wanted to do. And, I was going to do it. They said to me something very interesting, which was, you're healthy and you're young, so we want to hit you with everything we got. And we can see on the images that your natural killer cells, which are the soldiers of the immune system, if you will, are already inside of your breast tissue, inside of the tumor. We can see this on the images. Now, I don't know how they see this stuff, but they can see it. And they're already fighting the cancer. So we want to hit you with everything. We want to bomb this out of your body. And I just remember that was my first intuition that something doesn't feel right. My body's healthy. You're saying the soldiers or my immune system's already in there fighting. And I believe in holistic mind body spirit connection, and so you want to create a battlefield in my body and bomb not only quote unquote the invader, but also what's fighting it, which is my immune system. So that was my first kind of like, something doesn't seem right here. But, you know, I continued on with what they say because there's so much fear. And the truth is there's no other, we don't hear in the Western world, and I'm speaking mostly about the United States because that's my experience, that there's any other proven method. It's just kind of like, this is the way, end of story. And so that's what I believed, even with the knowledge and history I have of all the spiritual growth I've done and the training in core energetics and mind, body, spirit. Like I know a lot about what a lot of people don't, who are traditionally go to Western medicine. So even with that, even with all of that, I was really scared and was willing to do whatever they said.
So that's totally understandable, and you know, with the shock and the fear, and as you say, that this is the road that's presented. This is the way to work with cancer, and this is what is put forward to us and what most people believe. And this is the only way. I love that you have this doubt and question pop up. And even the words they use, a bombing, you know, it's like, it's a very different, it's a particular way of dealing with disease.
Exactly. It's a particular way. And what I want to say right up front is I'm not attached to or here to preach what somebody does because each person is unique. And this was the right way for me and to heal, and it worked for me. However, each person is different. And I really believe that healing happens on a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual level. And so when people say, should I do chemo? Should I not do chemo? Should I do surgery? Should I not do surgery? We're just talking about the physical level. What's also important is the mental, emotional, spiritual. And I think that that's, you know, I want to say that right up front is that I'm not here to say chemo is bad or that surgery is bad. Everyone's different. Everyone's, you know, body's different. The stage of cancer is different. Who knows what I would have done if I was fourth stage, right? You know, I think that's important to say because I think a lot of times people think that if someone's healed naturally that they believe that that's the only way. It was the way for me. I followed my intuition, and what I urge anyone to do who's healing is to follow their own intuition.
That's a great suggestion. So what did you do once you got this plan from the doctors? What did you do next?
Well, I think what I did next was what was done next to me, for me. I had a surgery for a chest port scheduled on a Wednesday, and this was in July, maybe about 2 weeks after I was diagnosed. A chest port is, for those who don't know, it's a little plastic thing that they put in your chest, and it allows the chemo, the IV for the chemo, instead of going into the veins, which is quite painful, has a good chance of breaking the vein and spreading all over, creates black and blue bruises because people, you know, imagine weekly chemo for 12 weeks is a lot of needles. So they put this plastic in so that the needle can go directly into that, into the heart. So I had in preparation for the 5 months of chemo that I was going to do, I had a chest port surgery scheduled for Wednesday. So the story I'm about to tell is on a Sunday, the Sunday before the Wednesday, so a couple of days before. And my best friend from high school, DM, who lives in Los Angeles, had come to visit me in New York to support me, to really navigate the maze of needles and doctors that had become my life since I got diagnosed, because that's what happens. It's test after test and needle after needle, and it's quite overwhelming. And so she came to support me. And we had recently started doing meditations. We had gone to the workshop of an amazing, one of my favorite teachers, Dr. Joe Dispenza, in March. And I had gotten diagnosed in June 28th, 2016. So I had just started doing these meditations. And so we decided, hey, why don't we meditate on this together? Let's get clear about what's happening. Let's get clear about healing, because as we know with mental rehearsal and the placebo effect, the body responds to the mind. And so let me start to feel and think and envision myself healthy now. And there's also proof that says when you set an intention, meditate or pray in numbers, the energy frequency raises and the intention has more effect. So we decided to meditate together. And now I want to say something that I think is really important here is I don't normally hear voices and I'm not schizophrenic and I don't hallucinate. Okay. But that day in the story, I did hear a voice and it was loud and clear. So my friend DM and I decided to go into meditation to meditate about me healing, my cancer healing and the tumor shrinking. And we both put on our eye masks to block out the light. And it's hot. It's New York City in July and I had procrastinated getting my air conditioner installed in this new apartment. So it was really hot and sweaty. So we drop into meditation. And the first thing that happens to me is an overwhelming feeling of sadness comes over me and tears stream down my face. And I've just never had that happen. And just the moment I got silent and I heard this voice and it was so loud and clear. And it said, "This is not why I'm here. You're missing the whole point. Cancel the surgery." And I'm thinking, this is not why I'm here. You're missing the whole point. Cancel the surgery. What is this, the cancer in me talking to me? So I'm thinking this is getting really weird. So I come out of meditation, DM comes out of meditation, and I say to her, well, I heard something really strange and it's really weird. So I don't know, but I need to cancel the surgery. And she says, "Well, what did you hear?" And I said, "This is what I heard." So I repeat what I heard. And she says, "Well, that's pretty weird, but it's clear. So if you want to cancel the surgery, I'll support you." And then she says, "Well, I heard something really weird, very strange." And I'm thinking, okay. And she says, "Well, I don't know if I should tell you because I don't know if you're ready to hear this." And I said, "Well, I don't know what could be stranger than what I just heard. So please tell me." So she says, "Okay, well, I heard you saying at some future point in time, cancer is the best thing that ever happened for me."
Oh.
And so that became began my journey of this adventure of healing in a different way. And, you know, that was about 2 weeks into my diagnosis. And I did cancel the surgery. I sent an email that day. I canceled the surgery. So it began.
That is so amazing. I love that. It's so powerful how spirit, your soul, your higher self, remember, a guide, and clearly it was you, on that higher level, knowing what this was about. That is so amazing. Such incredible. So that was a turning point. That was when everything changed.
That was one turning point, yes.
And then what?
Oh, and then what? You know, we could talk for hours, but let's see what's important to share here. One of my favorite quotes is by the Sufi mystic poet Rumi. I'm sure you know him. And he says, "The wound is the place where the light enters you." The wound is the place where the light enters you. And I like to kind of frame my healing in that way. Because breast cancer was my wound. And it was the place where the light entered me at a deeper level than ever before. It was my wake-up call. And when I got diagnosed in June 2016 with the triple negative second stage breast cancer, the truth is I was really sleeping. I wasn't taking care of myself. I weighed 50 pounds more than I do today. So I was at an unhealthy body weight. I was eating whatever I wanted because I, as you mentioned before, I love food, especially spicy food. And I was putting others before myself. I was, you know, you name it, just not working out, not aligned with my soul and life purpose, which I really believe is teaching and doing what I'm doing here with you today. And life has a way, I think, of rerouting us, whether you call it, I like to call it the real self, the part of us that is divine, that spark that is connected to the divinity, you can call it anything, inner, the soul, the inner being, I think has a way of rerouting us. And sometimes that rerouting can look very painful. It can be the accident. It can be an accident. It can be the death of a loved one that you didn't expect coming. Or for me, it was breast cancer. And I got that wake up call. And it totally has shifted my life in major ways.
Yeah. No, I love that. It is. Illness is such a wake up call. I can relate because mine was the same for me. I'd love to hear, and I think we would all love to hear, you know, what, you said two things. One is, I mean, the quote is so powerful. And I think I would love to hear a couple of things. One, what did you try physically? And two, what was the deeper healing? And what were the deeper places into yourself that this wake up call led you to heal and shift?
That's a fantastic question. And of course, I have a lot that I could say to that. What I do want to say, and I might keep repeating myself here, is the way that I think about healing is that it has to happen on a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual level. And so on the physical, and I can speak to all the different levels, on a physical level, it was a complete lifestyle change. I had to change my diet. I had to slow down. I had to take better care of myself. You know, it's actually interesting. It reminds me of of something. I had done a vision board right before 2016, at the beginning of 2016. And in the right-hand bottom corner, and I still have this vision board, and it said, slow down, self-care, and lose 25 pounds easily. I didn't love it when I got diagnosed. And I remember coming back home from the diagnosis and looking at that vision board and wanting to take it down and rip it off and wondering if the universe responds retrospectively. You know what I mean? Like, because it was like literally exactly what happened. Because with the cancer diagnosis, self-care, especially if you want to heal naturally or holistically, as I call it, self-care has to go to the top of your list, and you got to slow down because your self-care is taking up all your time. And, you know, I had to change my diet dramatically. So I didn't change my diet to lose weight. I changed my diet for life or death. And so in that way, losing weight was easy because it wasn't my focus. And so I had a fantastic traditional Chinese medicine doctor. And he said to me when I went to him, and I had seen him before, he is a Taoist monk from two lineages. He's brilliant and he's a master of Chinese medicine. And so I felt very confident when I decided that I wasn't going to do the chest port, which then kind of was making me consider not to do the chemo. Because another intuitive thing that I think is important here is that I was more afraid of the treatment than I was of the disease. And I like to call it dis-ease. It's a dis-ease in the body, an imbalance in the mind-body-spirit system. Nothing new. We've heard this before. Louise Hay is one of the first people that kind of coined this phrase, dis-ease. And I was more afraid of the chemo than the cancer. And so that was like, it just didn't make sense to me either. Kind of like when they wanted to bomb my body, and I thought, well, my body's already doing what it's meant to be done. There's a natural divine force that heals us. If you get a cut, you don't sit there and go, okay, now I'm going to heal this cut and you know, it'll heal. The body does it. Like right now, my heartbeat's happening, your liver's working, my pancreas going, my colon's digesting depending on what I just ate. You know, we're not thinking about these things, but there's a divine force that's moving through us. And so when the Western medicine protocol is to kind of interrupt that divine force, that didn't feel right. So more afraid of the chemo than the cancer. And so that really was important to me. So I went to this Chinese doctor and he said to me, we can, you know, Chinese medicine has been, is over 2,500 years old and it's been healing cancer for a long time. And what I want to give you is our Chinese herbs, but you're going to have to change your lifestyle too, because just the herbs won't do anything. They will keep the cancer at bay. It'll stop it from growing, but you'll be living with cancer for the rest of your life. If you want to clear this, you're going to have to change your lifestyle. Now, before I tell you the rest of the physical part of this, I have to tell you something really important, which is that I absolutely love food. I love food and I love spicy food. And my friend and I, DM, the same friend that I mentioned to you before, even though I do a core energetics practice, I had gotten this brilliant idea to do a TV show, which we had coined, named Global Food Girls. And we had already done a, you know, many presentations to production companies in LA and New York. And we were really going to bring the show, I don't know, onto some network. And the concept of the show was just what it sounds, which is traveling the world, women traveling the world, eating, which is, I think, a brilliant concept if you love food. You know, what a great way to get paid, travel the world and eat. And so the concept of Global Food Girls was, and we had put a website up and it said, we don't believe in diets because it has the word die in it. We, you know, we love gluten. We love dairy. We don't believe in food fads. We love meat, especially red meat. Give us as much as you can, you know, just like everything kind of anti the health, food fad kind of thing that's been happening. We're not vegan, you know, all of this stuff. So, that, and my character on the show was the one who just loved spicy, who would go to, you know, Mexico and find the hottest salsa, or go to Thailand to find the spiciest chili. So it was really a fun concept and we were really having fun with it. So food was going to be my new career. But as I mentioned before, the real self, the inner being, has a way of, you know, you make a wrong turn and it reroutes you just like a GPS. So breast cancer was my rerouting. And so Jeffrey says to me, he says, this is the traditional Chinese doctor. He says, you need you to change your lifestyle and diet is a big part of it. And I hear like an echo of diet. Cause I'm like, what is he going to tell me? What am I going to have to cut out? This is horrible. How am I going to do Global Food Girls and how, what's going to happen? So he says to me, you know, I need you to cut red meat completely because red meat feeds cancer. Absolutely no sugar, no gluten. I want you to eat mostly vegetables. And, you know, and so he basically says to me every single thing that's opposite of what our food philosophy was for Global Food Girls. And then, you know, I'm like literally feeling like I'm going to die. And he says to me, okay, so are you going to be able to do that? I said, well, I'll do my best. And I'm literally almost in tears. And I'm walking out of his office and he says, oh, Lubna, I forgot one more thing. And I said, okay, well, what can get worse than this? And he says, absolutely no spicy food. And I'm like, no, like what a cruel joke. Like this is horrible. But I did it. I mean, what choice did I have? 5 months of chemo. You know, I had to pick a lane. And that was the lane, and I followed a lot of guidance and I got a lot of signs to go this way. But that was the lane I picked. And that was, you gotta change your diet. And it was the hardest thing I did. And at one point, you know, I remember I had gone to do a meditation, a silent meditation known as Vipassana, a 10-day retreat. And not only did I have my already restrictions, they are vegetarian. So I couldn't, you know, I wasn't used to the eating vegetarian. So the lunch they had was carrots and tofu. And I remember literally crying over the carrots that this had gotten so bad that, you know, that I had to follow this diet. And it was very difficult for me. In fact, it was one of the most difficult things about the cancer was my diet. At one point I was eating, taking 80 natural supplements a day, you know, between the different healers that I had. Different people wanted me to do different things. Someone wanted me to meditate for an hour a day. The other one wanted me to do 20 minutes of standing Qigong and Wuji pose. Someone else wanted me to, you know, take a magnetic clay sodium carbonate, sodium bicarbonate Epsom salt bath. I mean, there were so many things happening that I had to do in the morning that I used to joke that my morning routine ends in the evening. I mean, it was literally ridiculous, but I did it. And I remember saying that, you know, the cancer, I know the cancer is not going to kill me, but this diet just might, because that's how hard it felt.
Yeah. I know it's incredibly hard. And I really hear your determination. I just hear it. It's sort of this rubber hits the road turn. It's like, I have to do this, to give up something that you just love so much. And I think that's one of the things that's always just struck me about you. There's just, you just throw yourself at something and make the change. And I think that's so powerful. And what we have to do to heal, to really heal. And I think that your commitment to yourself and to your self-care and your diet and, you know, spending most of the day on that, it's essential. And I think that's a really, really important lesson for people, that it's not just medications, but it's like changing everything from ground zero.
It's really becoming a new person. You're absolutely right. And, you know, you may notice that when I'm speaking, I don't feel a lot of, I'm speaking about it as almost as it happened as a third person. I don't feel the fear when I'm talking about it. It's almost impossible for me to go back to that place. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I have clients coming to me who are coming to me and they're right in the thick of it, they're right, just got diagnosed, or they're right in the middle of breast cancer, because I've started to get a lot of clients now in my practice that are, of course, healing this. I have to actually work really hard to feel and remember what that felt like, and to have, I mean, I have compassion, but to really feel it and be there with them. It's very difficult, because I really had to become a new person. And the way that I describe it is, if you've ever been, you know, in a relationship and you're no longer in that relationship, and even, you know, maybe it was ended 10 years ago and you remember it, but you can't feel who you were or how you were even feeling in that relationship. That's the best way I can describe it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That means it's over. It's over.
It's so over. And even before I got the diagnostic results that said it was over, I already knew. Mm-hmm. Because I felt like a different person. My mindset was so different. Mm-hmm. And I think what I want to say up front here about the healing philosophy, I like to use the acronym, one of my favorite words and been a big part of my life, the word real, because real to me is about being connected and about being authentic. And I started a multicultural cosmetics company called Real Cosmetics back in 1999. And it was my response to not seeing myself reflected, not having shades or colors in the cosmetics industry. I was in the beauty industry for a long time. I was modeling for a while. So I could never find products or images that reflected me. So I started Real Cosmetics, which is about real women, real beauty, real skin tone. So real was a big part of my life. And it's so interesting that it's now, I'm no longer doing that business. We're actually looking to sell the brand name, but because this is much more my focus now, it's different than selling lipsticks, but real has been a big part of my life. So when I think about my healing, I like to use the acronym REAL, and it stands for reconnect, R, E, emotion, A, attitude, and L, love. And they're all actually the four levels. Reconnect is a spiritual level. Emotion is the emotional level. Attitude is the mental level. And love, I like to use for the physical level. And when I do some of my longer talks, we don't have as much time here today, I kind of take people through this acronym and tell my stories and exactly what I did on each level to heal. But I think to remember to really heal, you have to get real. It's kind of an easy way to remember what I did and what is different about the way I chose to heal myself.
That's a powerful acronym. I love it. It's so apt. It's so, I love how the word meets the initials.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's really fun. And I'm actually starting some workshops here in New York and Mexico. And maybe we'll do one in your area. That's called Real Self, Real Power, which is the talks I've been doing. And it has people really reconnect to their self, which is the RE, the reconnect and the emotion part of the workshop, the real self going within. And then the real power is going out in the world, your attitude and how you spread your love into the world and make an impact. Yeah. So working on that now. There's always more to do, always more to share.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit, maybe one or two things about the emotional and mental shifts you had to make?
Sure. On a mental level, I'll start with the mental level. I remember thinking, it's just cancer. It's just cancer. No biggie. And, I'll say something that you're going to understand, and then I'll translate it for the audience who doesn't understand, how the Indian Pakistani culture is. It's like we make jokes out of things, and my cousins we're always joking around. So sense of humor was a huge part of my healing and keeping myself light and laughter about the situation, which is sometimes hard to find. My cousins would used to say to me, cancer kehra yaar main kahan phas gaya, which basically means the cancer is saying, where did I get stuck? Like, this woman is so strong and so powerful that I got stuck in a place where I can't spread, where I can't grow. And so that mental attitude of it's just cancer and, I am healthy and healed. And I had to believe that. Mm-hmm. I had to believe that and walk in that and live in that future, even though the three-dimensional results, the diagnostic tests, were showing my lymph nodes growing, mm-hmm. were showing no change in the tumor. Even then, I had to turn away from the reality of what was happening in my physical body and tune into a higher energy and a higher reality that I knew was possible. And, this is not just airy-fairy stuff now. Quantum physics proves that you can tune into any possibility, that there's infinite possibilities, that past, present, and future is all happening now. Now, that's a whole other discussion, and I'm not a quantum physicist, but I know enough about it to have created a mindset and an attitude, which is the A, the mental part, the attitude. I had to adjust my attitude to become a healthy person even before it happened. Now, one thing that's really important to realize about this, and I think many people subconsciously manifest disease because of the attention it will get you. Because when you have cancer, people feel sorry for you. And it's an easy way to get your, especially for people who give and take care of a lot of times they're the ones who will end up with disease because it finally gives them a chance to be taken care of if they allow it. And so one thing I had to not do at all was become a victim of it, feel sorry for myself. Now, there were days where I felt sorry. And I think, the emotional part of it, which I'll talk about in a moment, is you have to let yourself feel your emotions. Emotion, the E of my acronym is E-motion. Emotions are meant to be energy in motion. So there were days where I felt like a victim and I let myself go into it. And there were days when I felt fear and I let myself go into it. It just didn't get to be at the head of the table. It didn't get to run the show the whole time. Many people, when they're healing, are in fear all the time. Well, what fear does, as we know, is it shuts down your immune system because you're in stress, you go into fight or flight. Now, I think the problem with the Western medical system, and like I said, I don't have anything against it, but I will point out what I think one of the problems is that it puts you into fear. You go into the hospital and you feel fear. And, there's the placebo effect, that the mind responds to the body. And there's many studies done on people taking placebo pills and healing their depression, even though it wasn't an antidepressant. Well, there's also the nocebo. The nocebo says that if a doctor says to you, your body's not going to heal and you need chemo, and if you don't do it, the cancer is going to continue to grow and you have this much time to live, we tend to believe that. And because we believe it, the body responds to the mind. So I had to create a placebo effect that I was already healthy and healed.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And you are so strong and you're so, you know, you really have this incredible capacity, I think, to just totally believe in yourself. And it comes across very powerfully when you speak, when you tell us this story. And I don't think everybody has that. And so I think for others, it would take some getting there or guidance on how to really, really believe it. You know, because it's out of a lot of people's frame of thinking that, like you said, to literally hold the energy of a different possibility. And I think that would be a really powerful teaching that you have for the world.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Most people, let's say most, many people don't know how to get there because the fear gets in the way. And I'm fortunate enough. And, you know, since this is what I'm meant to be doing, I had the magic and the resources around me, and the support and the guidance from what I call my spirit team, to know that it was possible. But what I want to say is everybody has it. Every single one of us has it when we turn into the real self. We just don't remember that we have it. And part of this work is to remember that we have it.
That's right. That's right. So wonderful. Thank you for that. And, you know, spiritually and emotionally, I want to just take a little bit of time and then maybe move on to some of your work.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So I'll start with the emotional. And as I mentioned before, emotion, E-motion, is meant to be energy in motion. You know, you've seen a toddler when they get, if you take their toy, they get mad and they'll throw a tantrum, right?
Right.
So we as human beings are meant to, we have a physical body and the emotions are meant to move through. And I find in my practice, especially with people who are super spiritual and have a spiritual practice and meditate, a lot of times those are the people who feel, oh, I have to meditate away my anger, or I you know, I'm going to forgive that person who did this horrible thing to me. And I like to call that a spiritual bypass, or we call it in core energetics, a mask of serenity. What happens with that anger emotion that's meant to be in motion is it gets stuck in the body and it creates energetic blocks. And that's a lot of what acupuncture works with the needles. We work with it in core energetics in an energetic way by moving the body in different ways. It gets stuck in the body. It's kind of like putting something in your closet and leaving, and the closet gets full and it gets full and gets full, and it's going to stay there until you get it out. Well, that's what PTSD is, that's what trauma in the body is, and there's so much science now to prove this, that the emotions get physically stuck in the body and they create density, and disease is a manifestation of that density, or as quantum physics says, a lowering of frequency in the energetic field, in your energy field. So when you actually let go of the lower frequency emotions, and David Hawkins' work on this, Power versus Force, he speaks a lot about he studied the different energy frequencies. He calls it a scale of consciousness. When you let go and move through those held emotions, it actually raises your frequency. There's a lot I can say here, so I'm going to just, you know, plug a few things that I think are important. Is that there's a doctor named Dr. Reif over 100 years ago that discovered energy frequencies, and he discovered that each disease has its own frequency and there's a resonant frequency that heals it. For example, a healthy body has a frequency of 68 to 72 megahertz, and disease begins in the body at 58 megahertz. So a lowering of energetic frequency, measurable. Cancer starts at 42 megahertz of frequency and death begins at 25 megahertz. So when we're holding on to emotions that are lower frequency, which are the shame, the guilt, the resentment, the anger, all of those, the sadness, the grief, lower frequency emotions, it weighs down our body, as a simpler way of saying it. And when we feel more of the joy, the love, all of that, it raises the frequency of the body because higher frequency emotions, enlightenment being the highest. And so Dr. Reif studied and actually had found over 100 years ago in the 20s, 100% effective cure for cancer. And whenever I say that, people are shocked because it's like, how can there be a cure for cancer? And Western medicine is looking for a cure. Well, they're looking in the wrong place and in the wrong way. My belief, not to put anyone down, this is my belief. Quantum physics is a different way and belief of way of looking at healing than Newtonian physics, which says the body's a machine. If you have a problem with the machine, you fix the part, you replace the part. That's not what the new ways of healing are saying. And you look at Dr. Bruce Lipton's work, The Biology of Belief. Of course, Deepak Chopra, he says, believe the diagnosis, don't believe the prognosis, that you're able to heal your body, not by surgery. Surgery is good for acute conditions. Look at Dr. Joe Dispenza's work, You Are the Placebo. I mean, I can give you a whole encyclopedia because, of course, when you've done this much, you have to become your own doctor.
Right. And look now, what were the emotional shifts that you had to make? I totally get this is the great information in terms of quantum physics. What are the emotional shifts you personally had to make?
I had to become a new person. I was, you know, I'll tell you what my side effects of cancer are. They're not hair loss. They're not a breakdown of my immune system, not nausea. I have side effects. They're self-care. I had to learn to take care of myself and put myself first. Self-love at a deeper level than ever before. I had to feel and know that the love for myself was the most important thing. I think that's the biggest emotional shift that I had to make. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
That's exactly it. And I think that is at the heart of really it for so many people. Exactly that. I think putting that center in the center of it all, is absolutely essential. We aren't brought up that way, especially as women or even as men. I mean, it's like there's so many ways to love ourselves. I love that's what you did, that you put that at the heart of your emotional healing. That sounds perfect.
It's really about embracing and expressing and allowing the emotions to release. And that's what allowed me. I mean, I feel much lighter than I was when I had the cancer. That person is no longer here, as I mentioned to you before. And because of that, because I love myself more at a different level, of course, what we feel inside is what reflects outside. And the support and love and the type of life I have now is a completely different life than I had while I was going through the cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. So now I'd like to shift focus a little bit to, you know, after all these amazing shifts, and I believe I just also want to say that you recently got your test results back, right?
Well, that's a good question. I did get one test result back, one after a series of many. And, you know, when was the cancer gone in my body is a question that I think is that people ask. And the answer is, it depends on who you believe, right? Do I believe my intuition and my feeling? Do I believe my Chinese doctor that a year into it said, there's no more cancer in your body, I'm going to switch your herbs to just supporting your immune system? Do I believe the thermography results I got the first time that said there's no heat in my body and cancer is a heat in the body and so there can't be cancer, and the doctors, 3-4 medical doctors didn't see cancer, or the second test that said the same thing? Or do I believe the recent blood work I got, which is I think what you're referring to, that's from Greece, the Research Genetic Cancer Center, which is the only blood test that tests for circulating tumor cells and circulating stem cells, which are the ones that are responsible for 95% of metastasis in the body. Do I believe that blood work? So I believe all of it. In fact, the first time I believed it was when I heard my traditional Chinese medicine doctor say it. And because he comes from an Eastern philosophy and I grew up in a Western world, I still needed my Western diagnostic results. Do I believe the ultrasound that sees the tumor shrinking and shrunk? You know, what do I believe?
Well, it's definitely on its way out, if anything's left at all.
Oh no, it's gone. I mean, when the RGCC test said that there's no malignant cells, awesome. That means that there. Awesome. That's the most definitive.
Awesome.
A good resource that I do need to mention here For sure is Dr. Leigh Erin Connealy's book, The Cancer Revolution, for anyone specifically listening about cancer. Amazing resources, and she has a really powerful center of healing cancer in Irvine, California. And I ran into her towards the end of my journey, which is how I found out about the RGCC test. That's a really good medical, Western medical place to start.
Great, great. And now what's ahead of you, Lubna, in terms of your work?
Well, I think we're looking at it right now. I've started speaking and doing interviews such as this. I'm working on a book about my healing journey and continuing to see my clients and doing more speaking workshops globally and really just spreading this message that we have the power within ourselves and we tune into our real self and our real power to not only heal our bodies, but create healthier and happier lives, whatever that means for that individual.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, the world really needs you and your work. And, you know, it's so inspiring. And, you know, it's like you have become a light. You are a light because you're holding what's possible for millions of others who are dealing with cancer. And not just cancer. I think, you know, the changes you make apply to any illness. And it's just, you've had such a heroic journey. And I really feel you, and I know people who are listening to this will feel just your fierce passion and belief and just going for this. And I love that all the transformations is brought to you. And it's a very, very powerful message that you're sharing. And you're a very powerful woman, and it's so wonderful to see you and your work out in the world. So thank you. Thank you for the incredible journey that you've been on, really. I think because it really is an inspiration for many who are dealing with illness.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure to share it. And anyone who wants to reach out to me, if I can help or serve in any way, I can be reached through my website, lubnakhalid.com. And there's also resources there under cancer healing, specific details about what I did. And I'm looking forward to being out there and doing more of what I'm doing.
Awesome. Awesome.
I'm so grateful to you for taking this time and sharing my story with your listeners.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure. I love that you came on here and have told your story. And we'll have the links before to your website and, you know, resources, anything else that you want to share. And I just want to spell your website out in case somebody doesn't get to read it. It's lubnakhalid.com. So thank you so much, Lubna. It's been lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
And thank you so much. And good luck with everything. Good luck with everything.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.